This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Eun Teik. My guest today is filmmaker Putri Poonama Suguha. She is a Freedom Film Festival grant recipient, and her upcoming documentary, Aku Mau Sekolah, will premiere at the end of this month at the opening of the Freedom Film Festival. Putri, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for inviting me too.
So this film, Aku Mau Sekolah, translates to I Want to Go to School.
Yeah.
Right. And two issues are at play in your film, statelessness and access to education.
Yeah.
Why did you want to address these issues?
Because, like, as someone who actually lived nearby them,
In Sandakan
itself, and actually I just, this year, end of last year, I found out that actually there is a landfill area was actually very near to my house. It's around like 2 kilometers away, and at first I thought like there is a people who manage that area, so I found out most of them are around kids, and so when I went there and I discovered the school that was like for these children, so it like called me to try to like voice out about this issue.
Mm-hmm. This is an area that you grew up in? Was this a landfill that you were aware of? No.
No, I aware there is a big landfill in Sandakan area, but because my previous house kind of like already demolished, so like we moved to this new place. So yeah, after I just, because all these 2 years I've been doing the stateless short films, docu, and most of it focus on the children itself. So when I found out about this school and these kids, so it's like make me more passionate, like telling this story.
So it came to you. You weren't there looking for a story. Okay. So talk to me about the format of the documentary. Was it more liberating? Is it more impactful, you reckon?
On the documentary itself, because like I'm also in the learning process and like try to make a documentary, because I used to fiction film, and I think one of the best thing about doing documentary, you manage to tell the reality and it's raw, and people can be more close to it. So but when I was doing this, I think a lot of things I managed to achieve, but still some of it, because I'm still in the learning process, so I miss that certain part that I think, oh, this issue is important, but I didn't film it. For me, it's not easy in the beginning stage, because I need to be alert on surrounding, and like with the limited production crew, it's like only me and DP, so it's like so many things happening in surrounding, and you only have one person to film everything. You need to be very close to your production teams in order to get everything.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the main characters in this film.
The main character in this film is Ariel, because I have three kind of like main character, which is the teacher itself, Ariel, 12-year-old kid, and Hairi, 13-year-old kids. So all three of them, because the teacher represent the school itself, because she's the one who really care about the education of these kids. Like after 4 years staying there, I mean after 2 years staying at the village area, like she found out a lot of kids just like wandering around the village, and some of them even just like go work or maybe get exposed to unhealthy activities. So she kind of like inspire her to like do a school. So whatever she know, whatever knowledge that she know, the basic one, she will try to deliver it to these children. So when I was like interviewing her, I was like, are you in the first place is a teacher? And she said, no, I'm not a teacher. But for me, whatever, even I, because she's have very limited educations as well. But it's for her, it's still very important for this kid to get education, even though it's just a basic that she can give to them. But yeah, it's kind of like responsibility as a human being for her to let this kid become a kid on that age. Mm-hmm. Like let them go to school, let them like know how to read and how to write. So with the help with parents around that village, they built this school on her backyard house. But now it's already 4 years and the amount of kids getting bigger. So within a very tiny space, 70 kids were studying there.
Goodness. Mm.
70 kids are studying there.
So why does she want to do it? This is a one-woman operation.
Yeah. She, you know, when I was interviewing her, it's a very emotion when I asked her why you want to build this school. But she said that it's for them. I need to help them. Because it's sad for her to just seeing around, like, maybe from 8 a.m. until noon, they're just flying around doing nothing. So, like, for them, okay, why not just, like, set up this school and then, like, let them know how to... Because most of these people, they don't know how to read at all. So, it's good if you start educate them from the early age because, yeah, that's how we, as a normal Malaysian, also do, right? She's not a teacher. For her, she's not a teacher. But it's just a responsibility, a calling that she need to do that because no one else doing. So rather than just like questioning, oh, why this kid didn't go to school, why they was like just wandering around that area. So for her, can be the one who helped them, even though it's limited. Because if you watch the film, you will see how sincere she is like in teaching this kid, how much she give all her heart to just like let this kid have their right to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I understand this is not exactly what the people and authorities want, and she's doing it in open defiance. And the school has been shut down before.
Yeah.
Is she putting herself in trouble by continuing this pursuit?
Yeah, that's the risk. Because like previously, because there's an activist named Nizam Yusof, because he's always go around village in Sandakan finding this kind of school. And based on his record, used to be 3 schools around the area. But 2 schools already been demolished by the authorities. So most of the kids that went to that 2 school go to her school. Even until now, they managed to survive, maybe because the location itself located at the back of her house. So it looked like her house itself. So because these people, they know if there is an authority coming. So the kids kind of scared. The parents started to come and took the kids away. So it's sad because these children, like, they know nothing of what's happening. We just like studying and then suddenly it become hectic. So I don't know, as someone who hold it, being a Malaysian, I know it's like important for you to have the document itself, but this kid were born there and they've been like 3rd, 4th generations and they're just a victim of the whole situation itself.
Yeah. That's the other part of the equation, isn't it? How they end up as a stateless person, a stateless kid. So what can they do? Do they even have a birth certificate?
No, most of them, they didn't have a birth certificate.
Right. So they can't go to school? They can't,
they can't get access to education. Healthcare. Yeah, healthcare, access, safety.
Mm-hmm. So what is their day-to-day living like? How do their parents make a living?
Yeah, I think for normal kids who their parents working, so they just go to school and then go back home, play with the sibling or do the school, the house chores and go out and playing again. So that's how they are. But before school, actually, when we are filming this, because I have friends from my DP from Singapore, so she's kind of like didn't really know about the issue much. But after we do this project, so she started to understand. And then during the process, when we are filming, we found out their life circle was kind of like boring because they're just doing the same thing again and again and again and again because like playing, but they didn't do anything. So I think it can be dangerous as well if they get exposed to all the not good activity or like, you know, sniffing glue, teething and everything like that. So, but some of them who are willing to help their parents, like at the age of 8 to 13, 14, they started to work, go out like sneakily work at the landfill by helping their parents collecting tinned aluminium to recycle it so they can get money. They can earn money, like 5 ringgit a day, 7 ringgit a day. So that's how the whole family survive. So yeah, so in the film, you'll have 3 different perspective. One, it's from for perspective. One is from the teacher itself who want to educate these children, who create that school, and we see how passionate she and how sincere she wanted to like let this kid to get their rights. And another two perspective from a children itself, which is Hairi, because Hairi, out of all 70s children, he the second oldest, and he's the most smartest in the class. And even when I was there, I was quite surprised with him because so many talent on him. The way he speak, the way he normally when the teacher's kind of like busy with her work, he will go in front and teach the other kids. And when I'm asking about what he wanted to be a teacher, because I think maybe teacher is the only
vocation that they come across.
Because like they see the teachers can teach there, so maybe he can replace her, something like that. And another kid, Ariel, because his father just passed away, but when the father was still alive, father asked him to go to school, like go to that Statler school. But he don't want to because like the father was like really sick at that time. So for him, he don't want to burden the family, the mother, because the mother is the breadwinner for the family for that time. So he don't want to burden the mother and don't want to like, because no one taking care of the father as well. But right after the father like passed away, then he decided that he wanted to go to school. So if you see in the film, you will see the whole journey of things that related to the father, school. So yeah, that's about Ariel, who willing to work at the landfill to earn money to pay his own school fee. So, and another perspective was from the point of view of Sandakan people, which is the activist itself, the one who discovered the whole area. How actually we are all focused on these children, the importance of giving them the right to get education, because they've been there for like so long, and we don't want them to question why they need to suffer and why they can't get their rights to healthcare, education, safety, when they didn't even choose to born as a stateless, but it's just like a fact that already come to them. So that's the whole point of view why I'm making this documentary. I just want people to see how important for this kid.
What are some of the solutions to this predicament?
The whole
issue of statelessness. Is it to give them citizenship?
To be honest with you, as a filmmaker itself, it's a very complicated issue. You know, I mean, after this Malaysian Day, a lot of people discussing about this issue. If I said, okay, just give them citizenship, it's like more people coming or what. But I think, first of all, we can focus on the children stuff. Like, yeah, I think the state, especially the state, the government, they need to come together, work with the activists, with the NGO who understand better about these children, and find a solution, because I can't also give it the solutions. But they need to find, because there's a lot of talent on this kid, and at the end of the day, they will become the future of this land, because they can't go anywhere anymore. Yeah. They can't go back to their mother's father's country because they were born here. Even that country won't accept them. So at the end of the day, they will still end up here. But we have two choices. Giving them rights, education or whatsoever, or just let them be. And there will be the same generation that we are scared of.
Mm-hmm. Some estimate have put the number of stateless people at 800,000. Is that around?
Yeah, it's around 800,000 to 1 million. Mm-hmm. But 30% of them are children.
Right. My goodness. Is there political will since you started working on this film from the politicians to address this issue?
I think after the... Because I wrote on some article after this new government, especially in our Sabah Parti Warisan, took over, and our new CM wanted to put focus on this issue, finally, which is, as a filmmaker, that's the biggest, like, the government itself give their focus. Because before this, everyone just, like, turned their eyes on this issue. But starting from that attention, it might grow bigger, and we will come out to find a good solution to settle up this problem. And, yeah, it's really unhappy news for me when I know that our CM will put focus on this issue and started to solve issue regarding, especially on the children itself.
Mm. What about the public? What are their attitudes towards the stateless community?
Okay, there's two kind of people. One is already know, and because lately, especially this year, a lot of NGOs started to come in my places in Sandakan, because the activists in Sandakan, they move very actively to give awareness about these people, especially the kids, the children itself. So more activists, more NGOs started to come, and they see on their own eyes, especially people from Peninsula. Few of them started to come, and they expose this issue to here. And I think that's why also I'm making this film. But I know there is still some group of people who actually quite negative to this issue. So when the issue about status are brought up, they will just say, oh, just send them back to their country. Just send them back to where they come from. Why must they come here to work here? We already have enough talents. We already have enough people to support. But I didn't blame them. Because these people, they only know a little bit about the whole issue. So that's why they have that negative perception, and they love their country. They just don't want more people coming. But if they open their heart a bit and try to see the issue, not in the small perspective, but in a bigger perspective, I'm sure their perspective will change. The negativity will change, and they will give a hope to these children and give them chance in this country, because they were born here. If we kick them out, this kid was like will hanging in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. They don't belong to any country at all. So they're just a victim for me.
Yeah. It's as though they're invisible.
Yeah, that's why they're invisible. It's like, but they're already born, and they didn't choose to born as a status.
Mm-hmm. There's one more thing about this negative perception. I guess a lot of people would link their presence to crime. Yeah. Is that factually correct?
Yeah, I think maybe because of that. So if you related to activities regarding on the criminal activities, it's always reflect back to these people.
They're an easy target to blame.
Yeah, they're easy target to blame. Which is, I don't really know how to express this because I don't want to like misleading on this issue. But okay, this is from my perspective. Yes, maybe some of them are involving on that issue. And there's a time when I was like in the teenagers, when I know all these people, they do all the bad things. I feel like angry at them. I feel bad at them. Slowly when I started to understand this community, especially who grow up from children's, become a teenager and then they get exposed all to the activity because they have no choice. That is the only way of survival, because if they try to find a right job, they will be kicked out because they don't have the documentation. So the only thing they think maybe do, like thieving, sniffing glue, whatsoever, because that's the only way for them for survival. So that's why for me it's important to give this kid their right to education, because like I say, if you just let them be without it, they will grow up and see what their brother or father or whatsoever do, and they become, I know it's not all of them, some of them still try, you know, sneakily work
in the informal sector.
Yeah, informal sector.
But then they risk getting deported.
Deported. And it's also an issue when the parents getting deported and the children
are left behind.
And I know a few kids who were separated with the parents, and now these kids, since age seven and eight, they're living by themselves in the street. Can you imagine that? I see with my own eyes that kids. So it's really heartbreaking. You don't have an identification and you are separated with
from
the parents.
Family, yeah.
A bit of sensitive and I address the issue.
No problem. Over time.
Okay.
Okay. Would you have what message would you want to leave for people, you know, to get people to come watch the film?
If you want to understand a bit the struggle of this children itself, please come to a premiere of this film in 29 September at AM, 8 p.m. at the PJ Arts Centre. So open up your heart a bit. If you are too negative about this issue, try to understand it first before you give your perception on that. I believe after watching this film, you will understand why, for me as a filmmaker, I need to film this and why we need to get them right and chance to just be a kid and to just have a dreams and have a future.
Aku Mau Sekolah will premiere on the opening night of this year's Freedom Film Festival, September 29th, 8 p.m. at PJ Live Arts. For more information, you can visit freedomfilm.my. Putri, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thank you, and thank you so for inviting me.
You've been listening to Live and Learn, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.